From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. And on this day, the committee in charge of implementing legal marijuana in Maine is hoping to get retail sale going relatively soon, but it could take a while. And we'll check in with Dan Moody, one of the Appalachian Trail thru-hikers we've been following. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
An outside consultant hired by the Maine Department of Corrections to review suicide prevention practices at the Long Creek Youth Development Center in South Portland has found several deficiencies in the wake of a transgender teen resident suicide last year. But the consultant says he also found a staff that is genuinely concerned about youth suicide and committed to taking corrective action. Susan Sharon reports.
The 52-page report by Lindsay Hayes was completed in March and obtained by Maine Public Radio through a Freedom of Access request. A nationally recognized expert in suicide prevention, Hayes was asked to assess Long Creek's policies and practices after the suicide of 16-year-old Charles Mazie Knowles. Among his recommendations, that all staff should receive 8 hours of initial suicide prevention training followed by a minimum of 2 hours of annual training, that the comprehensive screening process for identifying suicide risk be improved, that all youth on suicide precautions be allowed to attend school and receive family visits and telephone calls unless those privileges have been suspended, and because of the strong link between isolation and suicide, that youth on suicide precautions never be automatically locked down. Since the March 24th report, DOC Commissioner Dr. Joseph Fitzpatrick says most, if not all, Hayes' recommendations have been implemented, and Fitzpatrick says he feels very comfortable with how the facility has responded. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The legislative committee implementing Maine's recreational marijuana law is ramping up efforts to allow for the commercial sale of a drug now legal in 8 states. Some hope the retail system will be up and running a year from now, but lawmakers and advocates warn it could take longer. Steve Missler has the details.
The Marijuana Legalization Implementation Committee has held regular meetings since February, and with discussions like this one, it's no small wonder why lobbyists are cramming the hearing rooms.
So, for instance, for trim, the tax shall be calculated on the basis of the category of the retail marijuana product, bud, trim, whole plant.
Ted Kelleher, with the Maine Professionals for Regulating Marijuana, is discussing how Colorado taxes recreational pot.
It's a slight hybrid between an ad valorem tax and a pure...
When voters approved Question 1 last year, they effectively began the process of creating a system for the cultivation, sale, testing, and taxing of recreational marijuana. That task is now in the hands of committee members who want to transition away from illegal transactions on the current black market. Over the past several months, the work on that system has been slow, methodical, and often meandering.
The challenge is we're really building an industry regulation system from the ground up, and there are so many different aspects of this. There's cultivation, there's processing of various products, there's retail sales, obviously taxation we were talking about this morning, there's issues of law enforcement, and how are we going to license all of these various parts of the industry. So we've really got our hands full.
Republican State Senator Roger Cates is the committee's co-chair. He hopes an aggressive meeting schedule over the next month will lead to a bill drafted by early fall. If that happens, the full legislature could vote on it if there's a special session or when lawmakers reconvene in January. Kate says it's possible the retail system could be up and running by next summer.
We want to get it up and running because we want to be encouraging people to go to a legal market for purchase and not the black market. On the other hand, we only get one shot at doing this the first time at least, so we want to try to make sure we get it right.
So far, competing interests and uncertainty have bogged down the committee's work. The dynamic was on display Wednesday, when the committee met to discuss whether the 10% sales tax on pot approved by voters is too low. States like Washington, Oregon, and Colorado all tax recreational marijuana at a higher rate. But Paul McCarrier of Legalize Maine warned lawmakers that jacking up the pot tax could have negative consequences.
They have to be careful by not setting a tax so high that it discourages the consumers from not using the illicit market. We already know that there's a vibrant cannabis market here in Maine, and we want to make sure that people have the option to be able to go to a retail cannabis store and buy regulated cannabis, but also be able to get it at an affordable price so they aren't encouraged to go to the gray market.
There are similar concerns about allowing towns to tack on what's known as a local option tax on retail or cultivation operations. Many towns are already taking steps to ban retail marijuana sales. Democratic State Senator Mark Dion says a local option tax could provide a financial incentive for towns wary of an enforcement burden with no revenue. And right now, Dion says local bans could threaten the viability of the legal market.
We're acting as if the market's just going to spring up and it's a matter of taxing it. I'm not quite sure the market is poised right now to spring up based on the climate and the municipalities. They have no stake in this transaction at all.
The committee is wrestling with a host of other issues. What should the seed-to-sale tracking system look like? Should pot revenues be dedicated to drug prevention and education programs? How will the state test and label retail products? How lawmakers answer those questions could determine whether the legal marijuana market will be as robust as the illicit one. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Since April, Maine Public's been following the journey of two Mainers through hiking the Appalachian Trail, Danny Moody of Winthrop and Dan Giguere of Manchester, Maine. Danny, trail name Bubba, and Dan, trail name Lieutenant, are hiking the trail with Danny's dog Daisy, no trail name, from its origin in Georgia to its end at Mount Katahdin. As of this week, Danny, Dan, and Daisy have walked about 1,100 miles. I checked in with Danny from the trail's halfway point, and I asked him what the biggest challenges that they've encountered.
The biggest challenge so far, I would probably say, is just the humidity of Virginia. These past couple days that we've been hiking, it's just been like 90, and it's 90 degrees, and then on top of that, you have the humidity, so it's, you know, it's probably about 105, I think, is the real feel on some of the days, and it's so hard to push your miles out that day when it's that hot. So we ended up, like, cutting a couple of the days short, and then your water, you got to make sure you have a water supply, so kind of in turn, with these hot days, you're carrying more water than you should, so you got more weight. So it's just been making the days a little bit harder. But luckily, we're out of Virginia onto Pennsylvania, where it's rocky, but I can already tell, like, the nights are a little bit cooler. The days aren't quite as humid, so it's been pretty nice.
You are at the halfway mark now. How do you think you'll do the second half differently?
We plan on doing the second half faster than we did the first half, just because, you know, those first month of being out on the trail, you're basically just getting your trail legs under you, getting into shape, and at this point, your body's just tuned to walk up and down mountains. So doing more miles a day, more consistently, we can hopefully get through the second half a lot shorter.
What about the pack weight? When we talked before, you told me you've dropped 20 pounds off the pack from 50 pounds to 30?
When I was packing up my pack for the first time, I was like, all right, this is like the absolute minimum that I need. Like, there's nothing extra here. And then you get out here and you're carrying around. You're like, nope, I'm not carrying that anymore. Or I'm going to get rid of that. So then you start sending this stuff home, and then you really kind of get down to what your base weight is. And that's like what you really need.
Walking all day, every day for months really has to change you. How different do you look?
So it's actually funny. I was at a gas station and I was buying, we were leaving the town. So typically, you'll buy like a beer that you can pack out, and like that's what you have to look forward to for dinner that day. So I was trying to buy a beer and I was at the gas station. I handed her my ID and she questioned it. And I was like, oh, like, I swear it's me. Like, it's not a fake ID by any means. But I mean, that was me like 2 months ago. So, and then she was kind of like looking at me. She goes, all right, yeah, no, now I see it. So that was the real point where I was like, I guess I do look different.
Okay, so halfway in, are you guys confident you're going to finish?
I'm definitely confident we're going to finish, unless, like, mentally, I'm loving it every second out here. As long as it's not raining and kind of like crappy weather, I'm right in heaven out here hiking. I think Lieutenant's the same way. So as far as, like, mentally, I think we're all good physically, if something happened, I mean, that's kind of out of our control. But I think that would be the only thing that would keep us from completing the trail at this point, if something physically went wrong.
When you do finish, what do you think you might do differently when you get back?
When I go home, I just don't plan on needing as many things. You really have like an understanding of the things that you want in life and the things that you need. So coming out here was kind of, it's kind of like a refresher, really. It makes you like, it's kind of got me excited to go home and say like, you know, how much cheaper is my life going to be now that I've lived out here out of a backpack, and compared to like when I was living at home and I had all the luxuries of just like a gas station down the road, or, you know what I mean, delivery and everything as small as like just like getting water and something like that.
Danny Moody, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And if you are following Daisy's progress specifically, she is taking a break as Dan and Dandy, who have separated for the moment but will be getting back together, go through a difficult part of the trail in Pennsylvania. You can check in on everyone's progress at mainepublic.org. Find Here to There and Back in the Events tab. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.